T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, Marks and Reese, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio in for Johnny Marks alongside Ike Reese. Coming up here on the show in just a couple minutes, we will talk to Nick Foles, that Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles, the author of Believe It, My Journey of Success, Fair and Overcoming the Odds. He will join us here in just a minute. Actually, we're going to do that right now. We're going to bring him on right now on the Schwartz Carlton guest line. Let's go to the phone lines here because Nick Foles, Super Bowl 52 MVP, is on right now with Ike Reese and Joe Giglio. Nick, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
What up, Nicky Six?
What's going on?
Now, Nick, now let everybody know how much you hate being called Nicky Six.
You know, Nicky Six, that's something I've heard a few times since I've been back, so that's new to me. I'm getting used to that.
Now, see, there you go. Now, you got me to thank for that now.
So that's who it is. I've had a couple of people when I've been signing the book say Nicky Six, and I didn't know where it came from, so I can thank you, Ike.
Well, listen, man, talk to us about the book, man. It has a great title, and it's certainly apropos considering the way your journey has sort of unfolded. Talk to us a little bit about the book, but I guess primarily what led you to writing the book.
Yeah, that's a great question. After the Super Bowl, there was opportunity to write a book, and it just sort of shocked me at first. And, you know, I was definitely a little hesitant. There was already so much going on, and, you know, season's a long season, and you really want to enjoy the Super Bowl and then just spend time with family and just sort of rest a little bit. But Tori and I really talked about it. We prayed about it and seeked out, you know, wisdom from different people. You know, Randy Alcorn, he's a really great author. He's a friend of mine. I went to him and talked to him, and, you know, he gave me great advice on different publishers. And then, you know, ultimately we decided to go with him. We've done, you know, Joe Gibbs' book, Drew Brees' book, great sports books that I've really admired throughout the years. And, you know, we decided to go with them. And, you know, a big part of the book project, you know, just deciding to do it was, you know, our decision was made because Tori and I are giving away 100% of what we receive for the book to different churches, different charities, different, you know, organizations, one being Dysautonomia International that heads the research and awareness for POTS, which is what my wife was diagnosed with 5 years ago and has dealt with every day since. So it was a really fun project of, you know, my journey throughout the NFL, throughout life, my faith in Christ, being a husband, being a father, the ups and downs I've gone through throughout my career, and then really just how I've overcome them, what I've leaned on, and that being ultimately my faith and family, but then really describing deep down like what I was dealing with to where everyone can resonate with what I talk about.
Nick Foles joining us here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Nick, I like the title of the book and the way it starts, Believe It. When did you believe it? When did you believe that you could do what you did last year? Because I have to say, I give a lot of credit to this fan base. A lot of people in this city believed you could do what you did and lead this team to a Super Bowl. But there were doubters. I mean, Nick, you didn't play well down the stretch of the season. Then the playoffs showed up, and you were as good as any quarterback we've ever seen in these big spots. Did you have confidence the whole time? Did it click at some point? When did you believe that what happened could happen?
You know, I always believed it. Now let me expand on that. Don't just take it and stop it right there. Because of the people I work with, the guys I play with in that locker room, it's an unbelievable team, unbelievable coaching staff. Everyone that has an overcare facility is amazing. But once I was playing, and, you know, unfortunately when Carson got hurt, I also knew that there was going to be some growing pains for me, and I was aware of that. But I still believed it. I just knew that I had to, you know, when those things happen, I wasn't expecting them. I was just, you know, when they happen and they were hitting me, I'm like, all right, this is normal. Just keep fighting. You got to keep growing. You know, you haven't played in a long time. Keep, do what you do. Study the game film. Prepare. Get ready. Go out there, play, and get to the point where you can read and react. So there was definitely a process, even though you believe it, you know, that you have to go through. And that's just from the journey throughout my career. I gained a lot of wisdom through, you know, the ups and downs previously to where I could basically not freak out and just sort of say, all right, it's going to be okay. Just keep working. even though I'm getting criticized, even though I didn't play well, even though I'm having to answer all these questions, I know that I just have to go to work and do everything in my ability to be the best quarterback I can be, the best teammate I can be in this moment. And then once the game starts, just go out there and play. So having that approach, leaning on my faith, really got me through. Trusting my teammates, having an amazing wife throughout that time, you know, was really the reason that we were able to win a Super Bowl. I mean, we have an amazing group of guys within that locker room, amazing fans that supported us throughout, you know, our home stretch in the playoffs, and then we're all at the Super Bowl. So, I mean, it's a pretty fun victory for the city, I'll say that.
Yeah, your return to Philadelphia, last year when it happened, it didn't come with a ton of fanfare. You certainly had your legion of fans that were here that didn't want to see you go in the first place. So when we knew that you were resigning here, a lot of people were happy about it. But even with Carson already in place as the starting quarterback, you were a little banged up in training camp. And tell us a little bit about, you know, going from that, trying to get healthy, rehabbing, so that when if needed to play, you would be ready to go, to having a team that's 11-2 in the thick of trying to fight for home field advantage. The starting quarterback gets hurt, and now you're sort of thrust in this position to where you kind of – we're looking at you to sort of finish this thing off. I mean, that's different than somebody getting hurt early in the season in the backup having to come in. You get a little bit more time. I mean, you had to do this in late December when a lot was riding on the rest of the season. What was that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, missing the preseason because of injury is never fun. I mean, it's when you can't throw football, it's not fun, and you don't get those reps in the preseason, and then you go straight into the season, and you're continuing to, you know, do maintenance on, you know, I was doing maintenance on my elbow, continuing to, you know, be in the training room, do everything I could after practice so it wouldn't flare up, so continue to strengthen. And then all of a sudden you're thrust into, you know, the game at the end of the season when every throw matters, every snap matters, because everything's riding on it. You know, our team was clicking. We were playing really well on all facets. And, you know, Carson was having an MVP caliber season. And, you know, then all of a sudden you're playing. And it's a crazy thing to go out in a game when you really haven't played much since the preseason, meaningful minutes, and to have to pick up the speed. But that's where, honestly, you just lean on the guys next to you. You have faith in them. You have faith in the O-line, faith in your receivers, running backs, everyone that's involved to do their job and be there with you. And then, you know, your defense played amazing, special teams. And, you know, that's why it's a great team sport is, you know, adversity happens, guys get injured, but other guys have to step up. I mean, for us to succeed, for us to have won the Super Bowl this year, so many guys had to step up, and the guys that were injured were there helping the guys that stepped up for them. And, I mean, it was a complete team atmosphere, a family atmosphere, and, you know, that's the reason we were able to be so successful.
We're talking to Nick Foles here on Mark Cerise, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Nick, we know a couple years ago there was stories out there that you thought about retiring at some point, and then we know you go to Kansas City, you come back here. Have you ever thought about the what-ifs in terms of your life, in terms of your career, and even if the Eagles didn't have interest? They had Chase Daniel. They had a backup quarterback, but when you became available before last season, they wanted to bring you back and make it work. Have you thought about all the little things that led you to the big moments of last year and how it happened?
Yeah, that's why we wrote a book. No, I'm just messing with you. Yeah, you absolutely reflect on it. You see, like, the story. You see what happens, the different, you know, turns throughout the journey, the things that happen. You just know that, wow, like, it's very humbling just to see it and see it unfold. But, like, I will say this, a lot of times in our journey, like, we don't quite understand what's going on. Sometimes we get confused. Sometimes we don't understand. But that's where, you know, you have to have faith. You just have to, you know, not worry about it. I feel like so many times we try to worry. We try to do everything on our own. We try to make it happen. And then all of a sudden you go to bed stressed out. You wake up stressed out. And, you know, it's not as fun. Whereas if you can just sort of live in the moment, let things be, and just do everything to the best of your ability every day, you know, have your priorities straight, love your family, you know, do all those. You know, life, you know, it's crazy when you reflect back on it, just how many blessings you've had and, you know, that life's still going on. And, you know, that's why it's always important to keep your priorities straight. And that's what I try to do day in and day out. Now I'm in the, you know, a different part of it is with all this success, you know, staying humble, not getting complacent. So there's always a challenge around every corner.
Mm-hmm. When you look at once the change was made, right, after Carson was injured and you went in there, thought you played fantastic against the New York Giants. They get the win, and then you had the final two games of the season where you don't look as sharp out there playing on the offensive side of the ball. What was that like for you, you know, struggling that Raiders game, the little bit of time you played in that Cowboys game, leading up to that Falcons game, right? You got a bye week before you guys open up against the Atlanta Falcons. What was that like for you? In other words, sort of walk me through you getting through that struggle. How did you get through it? Who helped you? And what got you back to where you knew you could be the player that you always knew you could be in that Atlanta Falcons game? What was that like for you?
Yeah, I think I just knew that, you know, this was a process. Obviously, you know, the Oakland game and the quarter of the Dallas game weren't my best football. They're quite frankly just horrible. But I also knew that I really needed to look at the film. I needed to prepare. I needed to understand what was going on. I needed to, you know, going out there, continue to do the fundamental drills, continue to practice fast. But I would say the big thing happened, you know, my wife and I were having, you know, conversations every night because she goes through a lot too. All of a sudden you're playing, everyone's wanting to come to the game. She's having to orchestrate everything. We got a baby at home, and I couldn't do it without her. So we were really leaning on each other throughout that time. You know, a lot of great conversations at night, you know, at dinner, hanging out with Lily. And then when she went to bed, you know, we just sit there and talk. We'd lay everything out so we could, you know, get it off our chest and sort of talk each other through what was going on. And then we'd be able to start the next day. But during the bye week, we both had time to take a breath, had time to rest. But, you know, Frank Wright and a couple coaches put together their little 150 or so play clip of, you know, some big-time throws I'd had in my career for, you know, like a two-year stretch earlier with the Eagles, and I was able to watch them, and I was able to see how I was playing then, and I wasn't, you know, worried about running the play perfectly or whatever. I was just playing football. I was reading, reacting, and playing. So we were able to create a game plan that sort of, you know, was orchestrated around things I liked because we had the bye week to do that. We could game plan. You know, I wasn't just running the offense that we had installed that, you know, I can run that I love, but, you know, there's different things I like more so than Carson and Carson more so than me. So going into the playoffs game, you know, just being super comfortable, sort of having that frame of mind that I'm not going to overthink anything. I'm going to read and react, and I'm just going to play ball and let's see what happens. And, you know, I felt so comfortable going into the playoffs. Just, I think you can tell, you know, getting a rhythm early in the Atlanta game. Second half, we finally hit that rhythm, and then we just continued to explode because we had finally hit our stride. But as you can see by that answer, it wasn't one person or one simple thing. It was a conglomerate of, you know, my teammates, my coaches, my wife, those around me that, you know, we all did everything together to make it work, and something special came out of it.
Nick, was there a play or something that happened that Atlanta game? Let's go through the playoff games here, because the Atlanta game, you mentioned you had confidence going in, but the first half, you guys didn't really do much offensively. Second half, I think you were 10 of 11 or 11 of 12. It really started to click. Your accuracy, you just looked like a different quarterback in the second half. Was there some moment in that game where you started to feel it? Because I feel like you're a rhythm quarterback, and you got in a rhythm, and we know it lasted clearly through the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just one of those things. You just keep working. You keep playing. You keep believing. I mean, I felt comfortable all game, quite frankly. You know, it might not have been completing balls, but, like, there wasn't a time where I'm like, all right, I got to get a rhythm. Just because you don't complete a ball doesn't mean you're in rhythm. The only person who knows you're in rhythm is you. And so early in the game, even like when things maybe didn't seem like they were going well, I still felt good. I felt confident. I felt calm. And I knew that eventually it was going to start clicking. I mean, if you really look at that game, it was a field position game. And, you know, there wasn't like a short field. There was always long fields, long drives, all those different things. So completions were huge. Continuing to move the ball, keeping our defense off the field so they could rest. I mean, that was how that game played out. That's why football is great, is you never know how a game's going to play out. But I would say that, you know, the second half, we were able to complete a couple balls in a row. I mean, you just said we were 10 of 11. And we continued to hit that rhythm and just sort of move the ball and come out with a big win that was really close. It wasn't a super high-scoring game, but it was a hard-fought game at home after all the adversity we'd gone through. And that was pretty uplifting to us all.
When you guys won that NFC Championship game, right, because you guys came out against Minnesota smoking, and it just seemed like every play the Doug called, the offense was able to execute it. I look back at that game, and I often talk about the job your offensive line did right in front of you, keeping your pocket clean, allowing that offense to be able to flow the way that it flowed. What was that like for you, man, when – I guess at some point in the fourth quarter, although I knew at halftime, but at some point in that fourth quarter, you realize we're going to beat this team and we're going to the Super Bowl. Like, what was that like for you in that moment?
You know, in that moment, I was still playing. I wasn't, just because of everything that got on, honestly, probably because of the last two games of regular season, I knew that to be successful, I was going to have the mindset, keep going, keep your head down and go. Don't ever get complacent. When you take your foot off the gas, all of a sudden you'll make a mistake. You'll get complacent. You'll throw a ball behind a receiver. You'll miss your read because you're just trying to play it safe because you're the score. And I remember my mindset was always throughout that game, just go, just go. And it didn't stop until all of a sudden I was pulled and they put Nate in so he could have a few reps and enjoy it as well. And, you know, then I was able to have that mindset and then carry something similar but a little bit more intense into the Super Bowl because I was continuing to learn. I was learning about myself, learning, you know, continue to play in that offense, getting a rhythm of everything. But, no, my mindset was, you know, I never realized it until I stepped off that field. I just wanted to go because I've seen crazy things happen in the NFL, and I didn't want it to happen to us.
Now, did you ever have a moment, right, whether it was that bye week or whether it was the week leading up to the Super Bowl, where you said to yourself, I got to go out here and beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl? Is this what is expected of me? Like, what did you ever have a moment where you had any doubt? You know, an honest moment? Was there ever a moment there where that this thing could have been too big for you?
No, you know what? I was super excited about it. I was excited because I knew the challenge ahead. I knew that this was something that most people thought was impossible. But, I mean, I get it from a person that's outside of that locker room's perspective, I guess. But, like, when you're inside that locker room and you see the swag, you see the energy, you see the love and care that everyone in that locker room has, and how we work every single day, I was really excited to, you know, have those prep weeks. You know, we grinded it out those 2 weeks. I mean, those were two of the toughest weeks of football I've been a part of, from just blocking out the noise, dealing with the media, repping the plays, studying the game plan, going to practice, you know, dealing with the logistics of travel. But there was never a time I doubted it. There was a time where, you know, I knew that it would take everything in our hearts, in our everything, to win this game. But you can't really think about it as like winning the game, like before the game's even started. My mindset going to the game was, you know what? We're going against a very talented team. I know we're going to play team ball, but I'm not going to worry about the clock except the game clock for the stuff I need to worry about. I'm not going to worry about the score. I am just going to go full throttle the entire game as long as I can until that clock hits zero. And then once that clock hits zero, I can take a breath. And then it literally took that clock to hit zero for me to take a breath, because I wasn't going to take my foot off the gas. A lot of that had to do, too, studying the previous Super Bowl. I mean, I studied that film when I got to Minnesota. I really wanted to see what happened in that Super Bowl. So all the quarterbacks and coaches, we sat, you know, Coach Flip, Coach Wright, we sat there and watched it just to see what happened. And I think that was something that was really smart of us to do, because it just showed you can never take your foot off the gas. You just have to go. Be aggressive. Execute. Don't play it safe if you're up. You have to make plays in the Super Bowl and be bold and play without fear. And because we did that, we were able to make, you know, score a lot of points. Defense, you know, BG makes that big stop, you know, that big strip sack. We were able to win as a team, and then ultimately the ball hit the ground. Clock hit zero, we were Super Bowl champs.
Yep. Nick, you mentioned be bold there. I mean, I think that's a good way to describe the Philly, the Philly special. We've seen that clip on NFL films a million times. We've heard Doug talk about it a little bit. Take me through your feelings there. You went into the sideline. You said Philly to Doug. What are you thinking there in that moment? You guys are going to go for it on fourth down, and you suggest to Doug to play to go with the Philly special. What were you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, we had the play and the game plan for the playoffs. We had repped it a few times and in walkthrough. We were maybe going to use it in the NFC Championship game, but, you know, we ended up saving it, thank goodness. But in the Super Bowl, we were definitely going to get it called. Doug and I were both excited about the play call, but we knew it had to be at the right time. You know, it wasn't quite what we expected, but, you know, when that timeout was called on fourth and one, I knew Doug was going to go for it. I mean, he's, you know, he's bold. He's a great play caller. He's going to be bold. He's going to trust his players. And, you know, and that's why we love him. That's why he's a great coach. But at the time, you know, in my gut, I was like, this is a perfect time for the Philly special. I was feeling it. Like, I was really feeling it at that time. I felt like we could score. I felt like we could trick them and execute it. And I'd catch the ball and trade, throw it, and all the stuff would happen. So I ran over there and asked for it. You know, and I think it shows a lot of trust that Doug has in me with his decision. You know, he pauses for a second because he's got all the coaches in his headset, And then he says, all right, let's do it. And I run over there. You know, I'm great. I'm excited. You know, I'm trying not to smile because, you know, this I'm excited to run this play. It's a bold play. But it ultimately caught him off guard. We executed. Now, you know, I was just at a book signing. There's probably 15, 20 Philly special T-shirts. Oh, yeah. And it's pretty cool because at the moment, like, I didn't even think that. All I thought was, all right, we got six. The play worked. Now we got to keep going. But now when you can reflect, you really get to see the environment, the situation, everything that goes on, and you're like, wow, that was pretty awesome. It shows the trust that Doug has in his team and how bold we were playing, and it's pretty awesome.
We're talking to Nick Foles here, Sports Radio 94 WIP, Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles. Join us, Nick. The offseason, there's been a lot of questions. There's been a lot of people wondering about your future. You've talked about it a lot. Has there ever been a moment, was there a moment this offseason where you thought you may not be a Philadelphia Eagle this year?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I remember when Howie came out and said, you know, he wanted a couple first-round picks for me. And, you know, basically that saying, he wants a lot of stuff for me. And then he would be open to trading me. But he also let me know that we would talk about it if there ever was something appealing to him. To where they would maybe want to execute it, we would sit down and have a discussion that was best for both parties, which was big by him and big by the organization. So there was definitely a time that I was unsure if I would be an Eagle. And it was hard to, you know, I was trying to just focus on the offseason, the excitement from the Super Bowl, and you just focus on family. But, you know, it is a little distracting because you're not sure. I mean, moving, going to a different team, leaving a city you love, a team you love, that's not easy. But, you know, yeah, I mean, to answer your question, there was definitely a time that it crossed my mind, and I was curious if I was going to be traded.
Did it ever get close? Did you ever have to give any input on whether or not you would accept a trade or not?
No, we never had any discussions. I never heard, you know, we never sat down. There was never something that was appealing to the team to execute. So it never got to that. And then, you know, ultimately we got back. We restructured my contract for this year that made it, you know, sort of protected me and then was great for the team because they get, you know, a second year option on me. So, you know, sort of a team, you know, us working out, we have a great history together. And, you know, ultimately right now, I mean, I've always been excited to be an Eagle. I'll always be an Eagle no matter what happens in my life and my career. So I'm really excited about this season.
Nick, you've made it clear your relationship with Carson and your role right now as a leader and part of this quarterback room. But independent of your stature on this team, when you think of yourself, do you think of yourself as a starting quarterback in the NFL?
You know, I think of myself as Nick Foles. I think of myself as a quarterback. I've never been big with the starting quarterback, backup quarterback, you know, stuff, quite honestly. I think that, and, you know, there's probably some GMs out there that's like, won't like that. My thing is, if that's like what makes you as your label, and that's going to affect how you play, is if you're a starter or if you're a backup, well, then you probably like have a little, you probably have a few things, you have some issues because the label isn't going to do anything once you step on the field. You have to have something deep inside of you that has confidence when you step on a field to play the game. So, yes, I can play. I think that, you know, I'm a guy that, you know, actions speak louder than words. So I don't need to come out and say I'm a starter, all those things. Would I love an opportunity to lead a team and an organization? Absolutely. In the right situation with the right people. So with my answers that I just said, I would be looking for a team that understood where I was coming from and knows me as a person, a player, and gets it, and then makes it, you know, it's a family atmosphere, you know, much like the Eagles. So, you know, that's how I really look at that. That's how I've always looked at it. If you go ask my dad, he'll be like, yeah, you know, that's true. I always try to tell him, but, you know, that's how Nick is. And I think that's been good. It takes the pressure off everything, and I think I've shown throughout my career when I haven't been labeled a starter, I've been labeled a starter, like I'm going to play. I'm going to give everything I have for my teammates and do everything I can to help us win.
Yeah, man. I think you ought to be commended for your approach to it. Not every professional athlete would handle this situation the way that you have, with so much grace and so much humility. I know your teammates and your coaches and the ownership, they certainly appreciate it because it could have easily made the Eagles offseason messy. It could have made it a drama field or what have you, had you been a guy that was thinking about yourself and as opposed to the things you just mentioned. And with that in mind, I would ask you, what allows you to be that way? Is it with the faith that you have, the connection with your teammates, particularly in that quarterback meeting room? What allows you to be so humble and so, I guess, so gracious when it comes to just your standing as a quarterback in this league, especially coming off of doing what you just did when so many of us wouldn't necessarily respond the way that you had this offseason or approach the way you had this offseason?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, for me, it's my faith in Christ and, you know, my identity. And I've struggled with this, you know, growing up, you know, even in my years in the NFL when I was going to step away from the game, you know, most football players, like, you know, you get identified as a football player. You get identified as an athlete. And that's all good and well, but, like, there comes a point in your life where, like, you're done playing or you just, like, you know what, I'm not just an athlete. I'm a person. Like, I'm more than just a football player, more than that. And there's a struggle there. I think there's a personal struggle. And I think that really affected me at points in my career. But it wasn't until, you know, I went through the trial that I did after St. Louis and, you know, needed that reflection, became a free agent, you know, was going to step away from the game that I realized that, you know, I was sort of putting the NFL and football on a pedestal that was causing a lot of stress and anxiety, which a lot of players can relate to. You're trying to hold on. It's your career. It's how you pay. It's how you provide for your family. You're blessed to do it, but, you know, you're trying to hold on to it. I think the biggest thing was when I did decide that I was not going to play, there was a sense of peace over me that I never felt in my life, which was weird. I didn't expect that because I was always curious. When I'm done with football, I think we always want to know, well, how are we going to react? How are we going to feel? I remember that sense of peace like I'd never felt before. And then I went to the struggle, and we all know I've shared a lot about the story of, you know, ending up in Kansas City and the joy coming back to the game. But I say that sense of peace for a reason. The time for me to finish playing obviously wasn't when I thought it was a few years ago. But what was shown to me there was when I am done playing, whether it's in a few years or in 10 years or whenever that is, whenever the good Lord says it is, there's going to be peace. And there's going to be gratitude. And I'm going to reflect on my career and thank God that he allowed me to play. I mean, when I was in high school, I was a varsity player my junior year, and I looked up to the stadium at Westlake High School and just said, God, if this is all I ever get to do is be a varsity quarterback at Westlake, thank you. And I hadn't really even given my life to Christ at that point. I had known who God was, and I thanked him at that point. But I say that, you know, to say that, you know, that's what gets me through day in, day out is it's not on a pedestal, but it's a struggle every day because I am human. Pride does seep in. I have to reflect every day. I have to stay in the Word. I have to pray. I have to surround myself with people that, you know, keep it real with me, that aren't just going to inflate my ego, that are going to tell me the tough times. You know, my wife's going to keep it real with me, my dad. All those people around me are going to keep it real. And, you know, that's what keeps me grounded.
Nick, that is awesome, brother.
We appreciate it, Nick. We really appreciate your time here. Good luck with the book, Believe It, My Journey of Success, Failure, and Overcoming the Odds. NickFolesBook.com. Nick, congratulations again on the book, the season, the Super Bowl, bringing what you did to this city, and we appreciate some time here.
Yeah.
Hey, thank y'all for having me on. Y'all have a great evening.
And real quick, Nick, Nikki Six is not a negative thing. That name came about because just look at your touchdown to interception ratio as an Eagle. You throw nothing but touchdowns, man.
Love it. No, I never said it was bad. I just said I didn't know where it came from. I like it.
Love it.
No, that's good. Yeah, that was pretty creative. I'm proud of you for that.
Nick Foles is proud of you, Ike. How about that? Nick, we appreciate it. Have a good night, man.
All right, thanks, y'all. Buddy.
There he goes. Nick Foles, Super Bowl 52 MVP. That segment brought to you by the casino at Delaware Park. Vegas-style sports betting has arrived. Place your bets. All professional and college sports. Enjoy up-to-the-minute odds and large video walls. Details at DelawarePark.com. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. Must be 21 to play.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.